B-Pod Studios.
Ninety-eight five to Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich is out at the Super Bowl. Thank you to the New England Volkswagen dealers. This hour of the show is brought to you by East Coast Metal Roofing. Rich, what is going on?
So this is kind of interesting. We've got someone at our own station, as I was mentioning earlier, who's breaking national news. Hardy is being credited as being the guy who reported that, according to one of his sources out in Vegas where he used to work, he said that he heard that Tom Brady has indeed purchased real estate out there, which, of course, lends credence to the rumor that maybe he might possibly be going to the Raiders, which, of course, would be fantastic because it would be like twins, him and Mark Davis standing next to each other. But this obviously leads to a very interesting predicament, because not only do you have that news story coming out, you also had that other odds maker who was they did that One for the Money movie about. What's his name again, Josh?
Brandon Lang.
Yeah, Brandon Lang. So Felgermaz had him on there. And even before Hardy had said something, he said that he had heard rumors from his people out in Vegas that he'd been looking for real estate. So, you know, whether that's true or not, I'm not sure. But one thing that it does make you do is it makes you think, I wonder if he goes somewhere else, whether you're going to have players to continue to want to come to New England to try to not only win, but play for Belichick. Like, was it Brady? Was he the reason that they came, or was it because of Belichick, or was it because they knew they were going to win a ring instantly? All I know is that you're starting to get signs of what life might be like getting free agents to sign here without Tom Brady.
It was the tandem, Rich. It was the tandem of the two of them. And if one of them disappears, especially if Brady disappears, players aren't going to come here. Brady has said for years that you don't come here to get paid or appreciated. You come here to win. And if Brady leaves, that opportunity, at least for the short term, is drastically reduced.
Well, also his age. And also if you see that they lost in the wild card round, and then you see the ascent of other teams that are in the AFC. Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this before. We've talked to this about other people. Is this still, well, there was the Pro Bowl when they asked the guys anonymously, what coach would you want to play for? And Belichick only got one vote, as opposed to Carroll and Reed and Vrabel. And I can't remember who else, but there were guys with numerous votes ahead of Belichick.
Tomlin, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of players, coaches that are out there now.
But it used to always be Belichick. It used to be everyone wanted to play for Belichick. And at least in these small sample sizes, that's not the case anymore.
You're not guaranteed a high chance at being in the Super Bowl. Even with Belichick being there, like, what do you think people are going to come here and play with Jarrett Stidham if they've only got, you know, a couple years left in their career? Like Emmanuel Sanders, like, do you think someone like Emmanuel Sanders would take less to come and play for the Patriots?
I don't think anyone would take Jarrett Stidham. I don't think anyone would take less anymore to play for the Patriots.
But right, and that's the way that it's been for years. They come here because either they're in a position where they can come here for a year or two and get their value up and get their numbers up if they're a member of the offense. And Belichick is, you know, obviously, and Brady throwing to him, that would make sense. But now that he's gone, you're left with just Belichick. And there was a pretty telling moment. Now, it's obviously from a veteran, but I think this is a sentiment that is throughout the NFL, and you're going to really see it if Brady leaves. So Richard Sherman was doing an interview about how he made his way to the 49ers. And if you remember, I don't know if you were aware of this, but the Lions offered him a ton of money to go play for them.
Yep.
And that was right when Patricia had signed on. I think that was last year that he was offered all that money. And Patricia had already signed on to be the new coach of the Lions. And so he turned down more money to play for the Lions to go play for the 49ers. And when he was asked why, he said, it's not the kind of football I want to play. He goes, the way they run their scheme, their culture, you don't want to do it the Patriots way. That's not really the way I do football. He said, I have fun. I like music at practice. I like to hang out and be relaxed in meetings. I don't like the stressful environment in football. The Lions condition every day after practice. My body isn't built to run all day and night. I'll be prepared, but I don't have to be run into the ground. So it's not even Belichick. It's somebody who worked with Belichick and by proxy, it does things the Patriot way that turned Richard Sherman off, even though they offered him more money. And he said, I'm going to play with the 49ers instead. And by the way, they're in the Super Bowl now, but when he signed on, they sure as hell weren't a sure thing at that time.
Right.
I mean, they had just, I mean, you know, Garoppolo, I think that, so he was playing, but he had, like, he got injured at the beginning of the season, right? I'm trying to get my timeline straight. Like, last year he got injured right at the beginning of the season, right?
So
like,
just a couple games in.
Yeah, so he thought he was going to be playing with Garoppolo, but no one really knew if Garoppolo was going to be a stud. That was still kind of a, you know, a shot in the dark. So, I mean, it's not like it was a sure thing that he was going to go to the Super Bowl if he played for the 49ers, but he passed up a chance for more money because he did not like the way that the Patriot Way culture,
well,
he didn't a team that was run that way.
Patriot Way works when you're winning, and that's the real challenge for Belichick. If Brady
right.
leaves and they go 7-9, and they're still, you know, we're focused on every little detail. You know, I think given that opportunity, a lot of people will take the Richard Sherman way out and go, you know what?
Right.
You know, if I'm not going to go to New England and get run over by Belichick and win seven games.
All right. Do you think if Brady stays, they have the best chance in the AFC of making the Super Bowl?
It depends on what they do around him. If the team stays exactly the same, no. I mean, obviously, we saw what happened.
No,
I mean,
they're not the favorites to win the Super Bowl. They won't be in Vegas and... I don't know. I don't think this is the team you cherry pick to win. By the way, there's a whole other conference, but I don't think this is. I don't think that the Patriots are any more the team that you would cherry pick to be on. These are not the Golden State Warriors.
But if you're someone like Emmanuel Sanders, and Brady is still here, I still believe that it's a huge draw. Like I think that that's a place that someone like that would want to go.
Not for less money.
I
wouldn't do it for less money. He's got championships.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. He does already have the championships, so maybe that's out.
Yeah, so I...
Unless he just wants more championships. I don't know if that... I mean...
But if I'm his age, I want money.
I know.
Your career is winding down, and you want money. And it's going to be odd to see the Patriots, you know, not be able to just bring guys in because they... I mean, look at what... Like, Bennett, I mean, they brought him in, and then he's gone. I mean, they
served his purpose, though. He certain. I'm talking about Martellus, not his brother.
No, Michael Bennett is what I'm talking about. Is that he came in?
He didn't fit the scheme, right? Yeah.
I mean, he came in and wanted to be a part of it, and then it didn't work out. I mean, I don't know. I just like the idea that Brady's going to take Amendola with him. When I don't understand how anyone on an NFL team. How any NFL team could take Amendola after watching him this season.
By the way, Fred, I thought of you yesterday, and you know, I've been on team Kyle Van Noy is going to get a lot of money somewhere. Like he's earned himself a ton of cash. People always overpay. But to your point, Fred, just kind of as a how well is this guy really known throughout the NFL? I was downstairs at the NFL Experience where they have like autograph signings. And there was an announcement that was made. And tomorrow at 4:15 p.m., make sure you're here for Kyle Van Noy. The guy didn't even know how to pronounce the dude's
name. All right, if you...
Kyle Van Noy.
Okay, so say you wait 20 minutes for his autograph. You're basically being paid 15 cents an hour based on what the autograph is worth.
What's that?
If I wait for 20 minutes for him, I'm making like 15 cents... His autograph is if not worthless, worth a dollar. So I mean, you're getting for 20 minutes of standing there, you're making a dollar, and I'm not exaggerating.
I don't think these people are there to sell the autograph. I think they're just Patriots fans who want to meet Kyle Van Noy or Van Noy
for 5 seconds. Good,
sure.
Well, that's lame,
dude. I waited in line. For an hour and a half when I was a kid in a mall parking lot to meet Doc Rivers.
Okay, Doc Rivers, first of all, you were a kid. Second of all,
well,
Doc
that's what
Rivers.
These are. Most of these are like, you know.
Okay, second of all, Doc Rivers was nationally known. Who the hell wants, and by the way, Doc Rivers' autograph back then probably was worth $5. I mean.
Maybe, you might be right.
I looked, JT here in sales gave me a mini helmet signed by Barry Sanders, and it's worth like $70. I can only imagine what a Kyle Van Noy autograph is
Van Noy.
Worth. Van Noy. What a waste of time.
But then again, I also waited in line for about 20 minutes to meet the San Diego Chicken. I was a big baseball bunch fan.
Well, the San Diego chicken, I can understand.
I mean, listen, Johnny Bench was not included, but, you know, still.
I mean, yeah, Johnny Bench would get out there and he'd always be foiled by the San Diego. The San Diego chicken would do something dumb and Bench would have to scold the chicken. And then Ozzie Smith would come out and I would get all excited and start taping it on my Betamax.
Somebody said, I waited 30 minutes to meet Trot Nixon in 05 and he charged my dad $50.
Yeah, $50.
Well, that's on you.
You know what? Who did you wait the longest to get the most worthless autograph? 617-779-0985.
I went to a Great Scott, which was a, there was a Great Scott, like supermarket right by my house. And Jacques Demers was signing autographs.
Hey!
And you know how long I waited?
How long?
I didn't wait. It just was, he just walked up to the table and he got the autograph.
It's kind of like when Pete Rose does the thing in Vegas. He's just sitting there on his own every weekend.
Jacques Demers was right there, and I said, why not? Can you sign this for me? And I probably lost it on the way shopping.
So he says, as a kid, I waited an hour in line at Blockbuster Video to meet Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
No,
well, now you just have to go to the tea.
Yeah. So it's inside Sarge.
I got an email. I'll read it to you real quick, and then we'll have to break. I got an email. Okay, Sarge, I know you don't like me, and this isn't going to help. But this was kind of a funny email. It says, Grant Williams. Fred, I'm on your side now. Grant Williams is awful. I'm watching him play, and all I can see is Sarge. Grant Williams is the Sarge of the NBA. He thinks he's funny. Nope, he's not funny, just like Sarge. I hate how he runs with his chest and ass pushed out like a goose on a golf course running for my drive. If Sarge can run, this is how he does. He does nothing on the court except get in the way, just like when Sarge is in and there's a guest or caller and he starts talking when nobody wants him to. Grant Williams is now on my list of people I hate just by looking at him and how they move. Along with, but not in this order, Mike Sarge Riley. Wiley Wiggins, Mitch, the young kid with the long hair and Dazed and Confused. Keith Gordon, Jason Mellon, Roddy Dangerfield's kid in Back to School, or Lloyd in The Legend of Billie Jean. Charlie Carsmo, he's Jack's son in Hook.
Oh my God.
Son, what about Bob Kidd?
He was also the kid in Dick Tracy. Yeah, how did you nail that one?
Can't hardly wait. I think you should get what I'm saying. I've been a listener since day one, and I feel we are like... and then he was been here in studio, and then
it's all good, baby.
Somebody said I waited hours for a Globetrotter signature.
All right, we might as well take these calls. We'll be right back.
The games are only half of it. Hatcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Can you?
Live coverage from the Miami Convention Center with Toucher and Rich. Presented by your New England Volkswagen dealers. On 98.5, the Sports Hub. On air and streaming on the 98.5, the Sports Hub app.
98.5, the Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich, this hour of Rich in Miami, brought to you by East Coast Metal Roofing. Keith Van Noy is going to be signing
Kyle. Audio.
Or whatever the hell his
Kyle Vannoy.
You'll never say it again in your life. So, but
I just thought of you because it was like Kyle Vannoy. Yeah. I went, oh boy, Fred, he's gonna enjoy this. The saying that he, I still think you're gonna be astounded by how much money he gets.
Very
and you know
well.
What? He earned a lot of it.
I don't dislike him. I mean, the only thing about it is I didn't like the boogeyman thing. But I mean, it's not like I care. I mean, good. I hope he makes a lot of money, but. But just the point of it was he's, you know, signing autographs. And, I mean, I don't know what the sentimental value of a Kyle Van Noy autograph would be, nor the Kyle Van Noy autograph would be worth like a dollar, if that. I don't know if you could get someone to buy it, because it always surprises me, because I'll get stuff signed or I'll be given stuff that's signed and it's worth like $3. Like the Barry Sanders autograph is worth like 75, and it's on a helmet. It's worth like $75.
You know what cracks me up is that, living downtown, I walk by those hotels that a lot of the players end up staying at, and you'll see the same guys standing outside waiting for autographs. You know, it's like usually 4 o'clock every afternoon, because that's when the buses leave the hotel, to whether it's a hockey team or it's an NFL or an NBA team rather. And you'll see the same guys. But what's amazing is the amount of money that they have spent on like jerseys and hats for each individual team. Like, let's say the Penguins are in town. They have a full-on like penguin sweater, and they have like a Penguins hat. And then the very next day, it would be the Raptors, and the guy's got like a Raptors jersey and a Raptors hat to make them seem like real fans. Just the amount of money they spend on athletic gear alone, they could have saved and probably made the money that they were going to make selling the autograph.
No, Pawn Stars is like completely ruined, disillusioned by idea of what things are worth. They're like, oh, hey, we have like the first U2 record contract they ever signed. And they're like, oh, great, $100. All right. Brian, who have you met?
Hey, before I get to who I met, Fred, I'm surprised when you asked for a doctor to call yesterday that Dr. Tobias Toboggan didn't call you yesterday.
Wow. Yes, indeed. Indeed.
From Sunny. I had taken my family into the Comic-Con last year, and while my wife and my son waited in line for Matt Smith's autograph, right next to him was Rob Schneider. He had nobody in line, and he just kept standing out front of his desk going, hey, everyone, I'm Rob Schneider. I was in Adam Sandler movies. Does anybody care?
Yeah, Rob Schneider, he's been in studio before, and he's sort of lost his mind.
Yeah, he was off when we talked to him. It was really weird. Now, he wasn't John Lovitz off.
Oh.
John Lovitz is the worst interview I think we've ever had.
Yeah, like, John just...
He came in and started yelling about the government. We're like, dude, you're John Lovitz. Like, yeah, I mean, you were acting, Masterpiece Theater guy, and now all of a sudden you have a huge problem with climate change. It was very, very odd. That was, like, kind of disturbing, to be quite honest. Like, his brain must have exploded.
Well, no, he started... Well, the big joke is if you Google Norm MacDonald, John Lovitz, and he just constantly in interviews will just break into John Lovitz started doing stand-up when he was in his 50s. Mike, I think that might have been the problem. Mike, go ahead.
Hey, guys, how you doing? So I stood in line for over an hour to get Chris Benoit's autograph.
Oh, boy. How'd that work out for you?
It was actually funny. It was actually really nice. My buddy actually had very similar surgery, neck surgery that he had. And Chris Benoit, like, went out of his way to show, like, how the doctors did his. And my buddy talked to him how his got his.
And that was before he became a homicidal maniac.
About 2 years before, yeah.
All right. Well, at least he had a moment of kindness before he went and murdered people. All right. Let's go to Ryan. Ryan, go ahead.
Hey guys, what's up?
What's up?
Hey. So I go over. I'm a kid when this happens. My buddy's father works for BJ's, and he brings us over to the Dedham BJ's when it first opens, and it's an Adam Vinatieri autograph signing. And we get in the store. I know. I'm not really sure what it would be worth nowadays. Maybe you guys have a little bit more insight than I could provide. But we get into the store. You know how BJ's aisles—they're like they're longer than since. So. It's the line's wrapped around like four of them. We waited like 3.5 hours to get Adam Vinatieri's signature.
3.5 hours?
It took forever. I swear to God, Fred, it took way longer than it should have.
Are you in the hopper, my man? I'm hearing quite the echo there.
No, I'm on a union carpenter. I'm on a construction site over in Fenway.
God bless you.
Oh, okay. All right. God bless you, my man.
Make everyone listen to the show. Blare it. Blare it. Make them all listen. Yeah, 3.5 hours. I don't care who's signing autographs. Unless it's Morgana the Kissing Bandit.
I didn't do that.
She's still alive, you said.
Yes.
And not as old as you would think.
No. I don't even think she's 70.
Do you remember the one time, Fred, we've played the audio, when I was visiting family in near Kennesaw, Georgia, and I drove by a Walmart, and I had to go get something. I had to run in there, but there was a line out the store, like around the back, and I'm like, what is this? And it ended up...
It was David Duke.
close. It was a member of Lynyrd Skynyrd who was doing a signing there. You don't remember the audio I brought back from that, for the Lynyrd Skynyrd CD signing?
Probably. No, was the guy, was it the guy with the eye patch that you feel sorry for every time you see him?
Yeah, it might have been. It might have been eye patch guy. They had just came out with their hit song Red, White, and Blue. Remember that was like, my skin's really white. My neck's always been red.
Yeah.
Democrats make me blue.
Well, I'll tell you that Lynyrd Skynyrd is one of the bands where you look at him and you're like, ah, that's a shame. Colin, go ahead.
So I sat in line with my wife for like an hour. They opened the Bass Pro up in New Hampshire. And I wanted to meet Jimmy Houston, professional bass fisherman.
You know what's right? sad is that I know who that is.
Yeah, he's been on TV forever,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I know exactly who he is.
I finally meet him, right? And all he wants to do is get a picture with my wife. He's like, what? Now get out of the way. He pushes me out of the way, like elbows. He's like, I'll take a picture with her, you know? I'm like, oh, my God. What do we come here for?
He's Bill Murray.
No, oh, my God. I should have left her at home.
How many women do you think, like, go, like, can I get my picture taken with you, Bass Pro Fisherman? Like, so
he ate it right up.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
He ate it up.
Oh, yeah. He was probably so excited to see someone with a vagina that he, like, lost his head. I mean, and Jimmy, blonde hair, right?
Yep.
I know exactly who. Yeah. I know exactly who Jimmy Houston is.
That fisherman's not mad enough for me. I like my fisherman mad.
Yeah, well,
like raving mad.
Yeah, I like it when he has middling Bruins players on his boat. But yeah, Jimmy. Like, have you ever gotten up like on the weekend, like at 5 a.m, and he can't go back to bed, and then Jimmy Houston will be on, and I'll fantasize of a life on the seas. That's what I do. I fantasize of a life on the seas, John.
I see that.
I just want everyone to know the David Duke joke was fantastic.
Thank you.
I just want, for those of you who didn't really catch it the first time, that was pretty good.
Yeah, because Rich grew up in a place that is full
the
of
moment.
Horrible racists.
That was really good.
And David Duke is a horrible racist.
Yes. Usually the bigger the Confederate flag, the smaller the, or the bigger, the more bricks on your mobile home. Like, that was like, I mean, you would just drive out there. I was like, all right, well, there we go. Now we're cooking with grease. That, as I said, my town, when you pull into Kennesaw, Georgia, there was a billboard that had a revolver on it that said, it's the law in Kennesaw, because there was some town in Illinois in like 82 that banned guns. And as a middle finger, they put a law in the books that you had to own a gun.
Which is odd, because I don't care if you have guns. Have as many guns as you want. I'm not wild about assault rifles, because their sole purpose is to kill many, many people in a short amount of time. But if you want to have 45 guns in your house, that's fine. I don't quite get, you have to. Isn't that against, like, everything? The government demanding that you have something? Isn't that exceptionally hypocritical?
It's to against commie cowards like you. That's what it's against.
No, but isn't the whole deal, the government can't tell me what to do, I need to arm myself, da-da-da-da-da. The idea, it's very ironic that the idea is that the government is telling you, you have to do something. And sure. Then people are like, that's great.
Well, if it means owning more guns, then I'm A-okay with it. I'm not kidding you. There was that billboard, then next to it, it said, Kennesaw, coming out smoking. Like, that was the phrase, the marketing campaign.
Yeah, because listen, own 89 guns. I don't care. I just think it's very hypocritical of people that, like, you know, get off my property. The government don't tell me what to do unless, Fred, you know, it's a gun.
My high school had a shooting range underneath the cafeteria, and there was a class you could take called marksmanship.
I know.
How effed up is that?
I mean, that's insane. I mean, that was insane. I mean, you get arrested for having a gun in school.
Yes.
Like, even back when we were kids. Like, there was never a time where you go like, when I was a kid, everyone had guns.
Nothing like that makes you feel more comfortable, too, than sitting and eating your, you know, stop sign pizza for lunch and hearing a...
Yeah. You know, you never hear, like, your grandpa say, like, oh, we used to have guns in our lockers. Those were the days. Like, that never has come out of anyone's mouth.
I sometimes think back at that school, and I'm just like, I mean, there was no more terrifying hallway than the auto body, like, one, like, where they had, like, you know, the auto body and the wood shop guys. And there was a section, there was a designated dipping section at our high school.
Well, they let they let the wrestlers dip in class at my school, so they could lose weight. So
is that why?
No, they did. They did. And Mark McDonald, who I'm still friends with, he used to sit there with a lipper. And then they'd be like, "What are you doing?" He's like, "I got to lose weight." And I guess the spit was enough. He wouldn't consume water, and he would spit. Every ounce counts, young man. All right. So Rich is over there at the Super Bowl. We'll be back. Here are the headlines.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich is out there in Miami for the Super Bowl, thanks to East Coast Metal Roofing. Rich, what's going on?
Well, first of all, tomorrow, pretty close to this time, we'll have the McCourty twins on with us. Also, David Ortiz is going to be on the show as well. And I don't know if you saw any of the Roger Goodell press conference. I don't know if you watched it like a hawk, like our own Michael Hurley. I'm sure he was taking notes and wagging his finger at the same time.
Michael Hurley, who, as we mentioned before, wrote a Deflategate article earlier this week.
They did, and it was no less than 4,000 words.
Yeah, I mean, I guess new information had come out that...
No, it was a ha-ha, told you article, because it was someone from ESPN, thank you, who admitted that, yes, this whole thing was indeed a sham.
Okay, does he realize...
I told you that 3 years ago.
Does he realize that literally, and when I say literally, it's not one of the annoying literallys. It is literally no one cares. Like, no one but him cares. Nobody.
He cares, and that's all that I care.
He does.
It's a passion.
First of all, even if they went 1-15, I wouldn't care. They won the Super Bowl. Like it's enough.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just stop. Stop. Well, no one cares. Well, it's not the JFK assassination.
It is to him, damn it. It is to him.
Oh, of course it is to him. You don't think he's going to write? You don't think this is the last of him writing about that? You got another thing coming, Jack.
You don't think he has a tattoo, like, somewhere in his body that says IGL, Ideal Gas Law?
With a circle and then, like, a line through it?
Yes.
Yeah, just like Goodell's a fraud.
Mm-hmm. Well, this was interesting because, you know, not only did he say, of course, exactly what I thought he was going to say about the investigation of the Patriots, like, we're going to wait to get it right. You know, we want to get this right, even though it's been forever. The Patriots basically said, here's what happened. They shouldn't get a big penalty, but either way, I don't know why they haven't given what they're going to give yet. But he was asked about the Antonio Brown situation. And here was what Goodell said about Mr. Brown.
You know, in Antonio's situation, I think the first thing for all of us is to think about the well-being of Antonio, to understand what Antonio is going through. We don't talk about the wellness of our players publicly, but I would tell you that you can be assured that the NFL and the NFLPA have a tremendous amount of resources that are available to all players. They are going to be made available to Antonio, and that we want to help get him on the right track and get him in a position where he is in the zone where he thinks he can be successful in life. We are confident that can happen, and we want to work to do that. And from our standpoint, that's the first step. And the first step is making sure that we're doing everything to help Antonio.
He was liking tweets yesterday of people retweeting that press conference saying, look at Roger Goodell pretending he's all sincere about helping Antonio Brown. Like, Antonio Brown's, like, liking those tweets. Like, hey, Jackass, do you ever want to play again?
I don't understand. Why is it the NFL's responsibility for
it's
any
not,
of this?
That's not. That isn't. And it's weird, too, because he's not. I mean, he obviously wants to play again, even though he's doing everything to sabotage it. But Tom Brady's back to liking his Instagram posts.
Good. Tom Brady can go play with him.
If he goes to a different team, would you put it past that team of bringing Antonio Brown in as well? And how great would it be if it was the Raiders? Because then he's back with John Gruden again. I mean, then it just brains will explode everywhere.
Yeah, let him back in Vegas. If John Gruden signs him, it shows that he has absolutely no self-respect.
No, probably absolutely not. So, yeah. Speaking of Antonio Brown,
there was an article that came out. There was one reporter who happened to be at the jail when Antonio Brown was freed from his ankle monitor and house arrest. It was this one guy from USA Today, and this article is just awesome. It says, less than 20 miles from the site of the Super Bowl, Antonio Brown is back in the spotlight, despite the fact he's not participating in the game. After a Florida judge freed Antonio Brown from an ankle monitor and house arrest Tuesday, the troubled wide receiver celebrated in memorable fashion. Brown, 31, walked across the street from Broward County Courthouse, got behind the wheel of his Lamborghini, and spent about 15 minutes in the parking lot, singing along with music blasting on his car stereo, posing for photos with passerby, and luxuriating in the sun after taking off his shirt. "Don't judge me," he crooned, along with Kendrick Lamar's song, God. Brown also granted an interview with USA Today a week after he's charged with burglary, blah, 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 blah. And there's just a picture of Antonio Brown, by the way, with no shirt on, just sitting on top of a Lamborghini. He said, I'm going to make all the kids out there proud. I'm planning to come back to the NFL. And they said, I think I've got a shot. Then, shirtless, Brown flexed his muscles and got back in tune with Kendrick Lamar's God. "Hey, this is what God feels like," Brown said with a grin. But eventually, the preening and sighing ended. "I'm going to go to the gym," he said. "Man, I finally got some freedom. I'm going to go work out." So for 15 minutes, he just stood there with his shirt off and just flexed in front of this one reporter and like took pictures of random people who were walking by. And that was it.
Yep. And then he has a God complex, surprisingly enough.
Believe it or not.
Yes, it's very shocking that he would be doing that.
So that's the plan. Wherever Brady goes, he's apparently now, according to reports, bringing Danny Amendola and now Antonio Brown, if he can get his crap together.
Well, you realize he is up on very serious felony charges. I mean, I don't think he's going to do 20 years in jail, but, I mean, if convicted, and it sounds like there is ample evidence to the fact that he did these crimes, that, you know, that might not be an option for him.
Well,
I mean, the idea that Tom Brady likes his tweets, I mean, he could very well be in jail. I mean, they had him at $100,000 bail. So I don't know. I guess the plan is in place. You get a good enough lawyer, they get you out of anything. But yeah, Antonio Brown, I just like the preening like a peacock. You know who he's like?
Who?
Zach and Slater at the beach club.
Okay, all right. That's not...
when they played volleyball?
Yeah. We don't need to go to a recap, I think, right now. I think we've had two of those this week.
No,
two?
We've had one.
Okay, well, one and a half.
No, that wasn't anything. That was just a throwaway
line.
That
was something in passing. I'll give credit pass on
that. That was not
one and a half.
That was not a recap. No. But, I mean, Zach and Slater would take their shirts off. It was nice.
A lot of people are saying he's not playing next season. The NFL will end up suspending him. There's a certain guy named Tyreek Hill who's playing in the Super Bowl on Sunday.
But was he convicted of a felony?
Convicted of a felony. First of all, he's not going to get convicted because there's going to be some sort of settlement because that's people with money do that. Tyreek Hill, was he actually convicted?
Was he in a courtroom,
Was
Tyreek
he charged?
Hill? I don't know if he was charged.
I don't think he was charged.
There was the audio evidence, but I don't think that case wound up in court, Rich, did it?
I'll have to double check.
Yeah,
you might be right.
I think that's the difference here. Well, it shouldn't be a difference. Tyreek Hill shouldn't be playing, but that's besides the point of the conversation.
Yeah. All right. We will be back. Rich is over there in Miami. We'll be joined by Danny Ainge at 9 o'clock.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub. Right. Toucher and Rich, covering Radio Row from north to south. Presented by your New England Volkswagen dealers on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich is out there in Miami. Thanks to the Bernardi Automotive Group for this hour. JP, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Was that Antonio Brown or Gronk at Gronkapalooza? He is going to make an appearance there if he's not banned from Miami. And can we get the Bankroll Boys to give us some odds on the Deadpool? Because how can anything end well for Antonio? The other thing, can we get to...
go ahead.
We get the Miami 911 calls and instead of Brookline 911 this week.
See, I think those are going to be a lot more serious.
Those are not going to be as fun.
Right.
I think if
Antonio Brown goes to Gronkapalooza, don't put him up there because I got news for you. Rick Ross ain't showing up.
I mean, he'll show up. He's going to get paid a lot of money for. Okay, so we're thinking about this.
I don't think he's going
to
show up.
I had heard a rumor. This is just a rumor, and I've got nothing to confirm it, but this is a loose rumor that's been floating around. Is that Rob Gronkowski apparently agreed to. This is, as I said, just something I've heard from more than one person. Doesn't mean it's true. That I heard that Rob Gronkowski, for this Gronk Beach thing, agreed to 30 minutes of time at this event. 30 minutes is all he had to commit to do Gronk Beach, and that he's getting paid seven figures to do so.
Wow.
So, I mean, well, think about it. Let's say that all of the regular admission tickets are sold. And his name is on all the advertising, and they sell half of these tables for like $5,000. I mean, wouldn't you think that that's something that was probably worth a ridiculous amount? I don't know about seven figures, but I mean, I would think several hundred thousand. Wouldn't you believe that that is something that if you were a good negotiator, you'd be able to get out of this? I mean, the capacity on this thing's pretty damn big. So somebody had said that it was for seven figures. I don't know how that would work out, but, you know, either way, I guess because of all the the sponsors of the event, there's money from that they would be getting. And really, is this thing as big as it is if it didn't have Gronk's name on it?
Well, I would say that the naivete of people who bought tickets, they get what they deserve.
Well, I mean, we did see that on the set list or the show times that there is a tribute to Gronk that lasts a total of 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So, like, stage time, there will be 5 minutes of Gronk scheduled.
Yeah, he will do 5 minutes. He'll go, like, everyone party. He'll spike something. Then he'll go to the tables that he has to go to, and he'll say hello. And
yep.
then he will be on his merry way.
And then I guarantee you the rest of the Gronkowski will probably, you know, stick around and have a good time and... And then that will be it.
They're even above the Gronk Beach party.
Gronk Beach.
Yeah, I don't think that it's going to be a who's who of sexy ladies and ripped gentlemen that are at the Gronkowski Beach party. I think it's going to be more like a carnival cruise on the beach than it's going to be like anything else. Yeah, I think it's going to be, if you're afraid of that coronavirus... Stay away.
It's going to be as if just like the Golden Corral opened up.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
and
like,
they gave everyone glow sticks.
I'm here to party with Gronk.
You know, I can't wait to see. I'm glad we may have an insider there. Charlotte Wilder said that she's going to call us next week. If she goes, she's trying to get into that. She's trying to work an angle. You know, maybe she'll spend time with actual Rob Gronkowski. I mean, she works for Sports Illustrated. That's got to be worth something.
Oh, yeah. So. Well, yeah, it's a lot. He's going to be tripping all over himself to get in Sports Illustrated.
Probably right.
That big Sports Illustrated push that he can get.
Well, at least he knows what he's doing while he's there.
And, I'm hosting it. I'm not really sure what I'm doing there yet.
All right. So what's the scene like over there in Miami right now?
So there's like a ton of people showing up. It's just that it kind of pisses me off that some of these guys get on like Golic and Wingo and stuff like that. Like, what are you doing on that show? I just saw Derrick Henry walk by. He just showed up. We're trying to get him. And Sean Payton's been walking around. He's been back and forth. I think Chris Long is going to be on the midday show. He's always a good interview. You should get Ninkovich to call in during that time. I know he listens to our show. I know that those guys are best buddies. And, Juju Smith-Schuster's here. I'm seeing a bunch of these other people walking around, and we're chasing all of them. So hopefully after Danny Ainge, we'll have somebody sitting here.
So are people nice. Just going, like, go screw?
No, but here's the deal is that, you know, it's me and it's Josh, and these people are all booked up through. And what we've done in the past is we would grab them and get them between, like, guests. But now Jim's been working his ass off. Jim showed up trying to get people, too. But these people have got, like, these full schedules, and we're trying to hijack them, kind of like we've done in the past. You know how that works.
Right. But there are people there, and they are present.
Mm-hmm.
And they are, there is a chance that they would join the show, is what
yes.
you're saying.
That's how it always is. You never know until they walk by.
Right. All right. Well, Danny.
And I guarantee you, the second Danny Ainge comes on, they're going to bring over somebody huge.
Okay, well, maybe they could talk to Danny Ainge.
Why not?
Yeah, you could have a dual interview with Danny Ainge and Derrick Henry. I mean, that's the... Is Mike Ditka there pimping toilet paper?
No, I have not seen him doing the Charmin thing that he likes to do. I've not seen him yet. I talked to Ditka in a second. I like Ditka.
Yeah, ESPN did an article about, every Super Bowl ring, and the Bears, the 85 Bears, that famous team, they had a reception at a Holiday Inn, and by the time they got there, Ditka was passed out drunk. So, and then the league gave every team $6,000 per ring, and no team in the past, everyone owner had splurged. The Chicago Bears rings were $6,000 a piece. I believe it was the Hallis family at the time had they took the league's money and they would not spend a dime above that. All right, Danny Ainge is scheduled to join us. We will talk to him. No commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.